listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome, everybody. Let me ask you something out there. How many times have you said, you know what, today I'm going to look for a job? Or tomorrow or next week I'm going to start my project or go on a diet or exercise or whatever. Well, one of the most common issues that I try to help my patients with is helping them get motivated to do the things they say they want in life, right? To try and step out of their habits of comfort. I mean, we all have habits. We all get into comfort zones, and that's fine. Comfort's good, because if we're comfortable, we're happy and more relaxed. But sometimes we have bad habits. We do things to make excuses. We just chill out, relax, instead of, you know, going for some of the things we'd really like to go for and do in our lives. And you know what? I really try to encourage people. I try to help them find the purpose within themselves, right? But today we're going to be talking about how to find that purpose, how to fulfill that, and we're going to be getting great help to get the things that we want in life from a visionary entrepreneur, a motivational speaker, a skilled executive, real estate developer, mortgage consultant. Let's see. I think, you know, there's so many more things that Anthony has done, but we're talking about his latest book he authored. It's called LIFE, Intentional, Living in Fullness Every Day. Anthony Lamar Smith, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dr. Michelle. Thank you again for having me on your show. I am so honored, wow, and I greatly appreciate this opportunity.
Bless your heart. I always love talking with you. You make me just feel happy, and you just your voice and the way you speak makes me say, yeah, I can do this.
Well, I appreciate that. Now you sound like my fiance. She said, the reason I want to marry you is because of your voice. Okay,
oh,
no problem.
Oh, see? That's it. Whatever works is what I say, Anthony. Right?
I concur.
So, I love the acronym LIFE, and that's, you know, living in fullness every day. And that is a wonderful thing to live by. It's hard to find, though, but in your book, which, you know, I hate to use the word self-help book, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound lame? Self-help book. But it, you know what? It's what it is. You read the book, you get help, right? So
that is correct.
We're going to help inspire some listeners today. And let me invite you out there to call if you'd like. And if you have any questions, the number here is 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. Or if you're shy, you want to get your question answered, but you would not like to have your voice on the air, you can email me instantly at docmichelle@aol.com, docmichelle@aol.com. Let's get started about what were some of the things, Anthony, in your life that inspired you to write this book?
Oh, wow. You know, Dr. Michelle, that is a very good question. I was thinking when you were doing the intro, when you were asking the question about motivation and inspiration, what motivates people, what inspires them. And I was talking with a client of mine last week, and I was sharing with her that there is a difference between motivation and inspiration.
Hmm.
lot of times we use these words synonymously.
Yeah.
However, there is a big difference between the two. Motivation, for instance, I'm from the Midwest, born and raised in Gary, Indiana, which is right outside of Chicago.
Right.
And so you already know that the winters are brutal.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it's very, very cold in Chicago.
Right.
Okay. And even all the way into the end of April sometimes, it could be really, really cold.
Oh, yeah.
Motivation is like a person who goes to work,
yes,
all day long, works a double or whatever, drives home in the brutal winter, gets inside the house, and they jump into a nice warm shower.
Yes.
And it feels so refreshing.
Right.
Oh my God, it feels so good.
Mm-hmm.
Your body is at awe, and you can release all the stress off of your life.
That's right.
However, when you get out of the shower, you're cold again.
Right. Right.
That's motivation.
Yes.
And for many, a lot of us find motivation every Sunday at church, for instance.
Yes.
You know, we're doing terrible Monday through Friday.
Yes.
We feel good Friday afternoon, especially if it's payday.
Oh, yes.
Then we have all Saturday, and then Sunday we go and we get motivated so we can do it all over again.
That's right. Right. Get up the courage.
However, inspiration is an internal motivation.
Mm-hmm.
It's inspiration comes from identifying your whys or your compelling reasons why you have to do something.
Right, right.
See, I can be motivated to lose weight.
Right.
But if I don't have any compelling reasons why I want to lose weight,
yes,
then all I have is a dream.
Right.
And a dream without a plan is simply a wish list.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'll say that again. A dream without a plan is simply a wish list.
Yes. Yes. That's so
true. Until I identify the reasons why I want to lose weight, which I just did, as a matter of fact.
I know
I woke
you
up
did.
April 25th. I was 298 pounds, and I said, to hell with this. I'm tired of it. I can't believe I did this to myself again.
Oh.
And so, I had to go back and find my compelling reasons why I wanted to lose weight. Otherwise, I would just simply have motivation, but no true inspiration.
Wow.
And it's those whys that gave me my inspiration to knock off 42 pounds of excess fat and weight in my body within 8 weeks.
What? 42 pounds in 8 weeks? Sign me up for that one, dude. I want
exactly.
that one.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Good for you. So you got out there.
Knocked off.
Yeah.
See that?
No.
I mean, just dropping the weight, building muscle. I had to reprogram myself.
Yes.
Reprogram those neuropeptides or whatever you fancy psychologists talk about.
Oh, yes. Yes, we do. We talk about all those neural patterns, honey.
Okay. So I had to, but the way that I was able to do it is to identify my compelling reasons why.
So what
And so I wrote down.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I wrote down 10 reasons why I needed to lose the weight.
Mm.
Why it no longer was something that I wanted to do, but it was something that I have to do.
Right. Right.
It was a must.
And they were things like, you know, just whatever. I've got to take care of my body so I can be around for a really long time.
Sure.
I want to present everything.
For me, it had to be something even more internal. See, I didn't want to be a hypocrite.
Right.
See, I believe hypocrisy is teaching other people to do what you're too afraid to do.
Yes. Yes.
And so here I was standing on stage and talking to clients. I'm authoring books.
Right.
I'm on the radio and I'm coaching and I'm doing all these things to help people to live the life of their dreams, to live the life that they want to live. And I'm dying slowly inside because of my weight.
Mm.
My body is out of control.
Mm.
And really, truthfully, I had to say to myself, your outer image is simply a reflection of how you really feel on the inside.
Ooh, that's painful to think about, though, isn't it, sort of personally? I mean,
it's very painful.
Ooh.
But until you tell yourself the truth and accept the truth, you're never going to change.
Well, you're right.
You'll just be motivated.
Right.
You can buy all the fitness videos. You can buy all the diet food. You can watch all the healthy food channels. You can do all these things.
Mm-hmm.
But until you identify your compelling reasons, whatever they are.
Yep.
But they have to be strong enough reasons to inspire you even when you don't feel like doing it. Does that make sense?
Yes, totally. What a great explanation. I love that, Anthony. So you really have a, as I call it, come to Jesus with yourself. You sit down,
okay,
you meditate, you write down, and you say, keep it real now. Okay, here's the deal.
Keep it 100. Keep it 100. Tell
what
yourself
is
the truth.
Going
be
on?
With
exactly.
Yourself.
Just say, okay, here's the deal. Dude, look at how you feel. Look at yourself. Look. Do you want this woman to say, wow, you look great? Do you want yourself?
That was one of my compelling reasons as well.
Sure.
You know, I have a very athletic and an extremely attractive fiance.
Yes, you do.
And she does not have any, she never had any complaints with my weight.
Oh.
She didn't even notice, like I said, until I stood on the scale and I actually just started pointing it out to her. I mean, she was totally blinded to my imperfections because of her love for me.
I felt insecure. Yes.
I felt that my weight eventually will cause all types of problems in the relationship.
Yes.
That it could affect how I feel about myself, and we will attract into our life whatever is in alignment with our most dominant thoughts and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I start to continue feeling this way about myself, it wouldn't be too much longer before she does.
Yes.
And before other people.
Well,
and I didn't want that.
Right.
I didn't want it to affect our sex life. I didn't want it to affect our intimacy, our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I got tired of being embarrassed to take pictures with her because she's so fit and healthy and sexy. And here I have big blue little guy next to her. You know, I want to look good in the pictures too.
Sure you do. There you go.
But the truth of the matter is, Dr. Michelle, that the first person we look for in every photo is ourselves.
Yeah. It's like, ooh, let's put that one in the trash on the old phone. Make it go away.
Exactly. You know? So those are some of the reasons why I was so compelled to write the book Life Intentional,
yes.
L-I-F-E,
yes.
An acronym standing for Living in Fullness Every Day. I really want people to be compelled to live the life of their dreams and their aspirations, to have the courage to step out on faith and do and take the necessary steps to live the life that you have always dreamt of.
Yes,
and that
yes.
life does not have to mean living in a 10,000 square foot home. We're not talking about materialistic things.
No, we're not.
We're talking about fulfilling your divine purpose. That's what I mean.
Right. And if part of that is having a 10,000 square foot home, good for you. Go for it. But,
exactly.
You know, it's always good to give a little, too. If you're that wealthy, you get to give a lot to people, which you do. And I've read in your book that you do and have helped out a lot of people. By the way, in case you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest, Anthony Lamar Smith. His book is called L-I-F-E, Intentional. And that translates to living in fullness every day. And I know that you worked with Anthony Robbins.
Yes.
I know that you were one of his speakers. I know that you were inspired by him, but, you know, you worked with him. So he's, you know, he's probably the top motivational speaker in the world.
He is.
What things really inspired you that he taught you?
You know, he is a man of action, and he believes in results.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is the king of getting the results.
Right.
And so while working with him, see, when I first started working with him, this was in 2002, and I worked for Anthony Robinson Associates out in the Chicagoland area as one of the trainers. And, and what I would do is I would go into different organizations, companies, give a complimentary one-hour training workshop on whatever it is that they may need, self-psychology, building rapport, you know, management, whatever it was that the company may have needed assistance with. And then we would invite them out to the bigger events and the other training workshops so that we can help their companies to grow, to get the results that they wanted.
Right.
And so when I first got into speaking as a younger man, of course, at that time, like 26, 27 years old, well, I wanted to inspire the world, and I wanted to be a motivational speaker.
Sure. Yeah.
Big difference.
Yes.
And
yes.
But while working with him, I learned the difference between motivation and inspiration, because inspiration means that you're going to get the result.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're going to identify whatever those patterns are that are keeping you from getting the results that you want.
Yes.
And
yes.
So I no longer wanted to just be a motivational speaker.
Right.
I wanted
right.
to positively impact people's lives and help them to identify or to rediscover, to reconnect, mm-hmm. to reimagine
yeah,
their
yeah.
dreams
uh-huh.
and their goals, mm-hmm. and to then have the courage mm-hmm. to go out and do those things that
right.
are necessary to bring those dreams and aspirations into fruition.
That's right. And it's not always going to come like, yeah, I've manifested it and I'm taking action. And it's, you know, you and I know the old saying, it's the journey that counts. But through the journey, if we do all the steps that you suggest, we're going to get things that we really want out of life. Because once we really have a purpose, once we really define what we want and have conviction and put it out there and think about it and work it. You know,
it's amazing what yeah. happens when you actually put in the work.
Yes, exactly.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, it's just, you know, I was reading or I saw somewhere, I can't remember, I think it was either something that Jack Canfield,
right.
Author mm-hmm. of Soup for the Soul,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
he was saying something about the steps necessary in order for you to accomplish your dreams and your goals.
Right.
And he used an analogy of if we started out on a long drive at night from L.A. to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you turn on your headlights, your lights will only allow you to see probably at best 200 feet out in front of you.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, we don't know in the darkness what's beyond that 200 feet. But
yeah.
we just trust that if we keep moving in this direction, of course, with the help of the GPS and being able to see what is ahead of us by 200 feet, eventually we'll end up in New York.
Yeah. Yes.
In other words, you don't have to see all the details.
Right.
You don't need to know everything about how it's going to happen.
Yes.
You just need to know that it has to.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
This
you
is a
just
month.
Know that it has
So
yes.
when I awaken eight and a half weeks later, and I put on the scale, and I'm like, whoa, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And I'm looking at my arms, and I'm cut, and the people are posting pictures all up and down Facebook now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Before, I didn't want to post any pictures, but now I can't stop posting pictures.
Right. You're so funny. You know,
now you wake up, and it's like, right. oh, my God, it really did come to pass.
Right,
and
right.
so I'm still on the journey. I,
yes.
I then redeveloped, or I came up with a new goal.
Yes.
You know, and I put those out there into the universe, and I'm taking the steps necessary so that by the middle of July and the end of July, I'll have a completely different body.
Right.
I'll have the body that I've always dreamt
yeah,
of.
Yeah, yeah.
Eventually, you take the steps, and it happens.
Mm-hmm. I know it does. You just have to take those steps and really have conviction and purpose and write down, like you said, the reasons that are really important for you to do it. The intentions. I intend to do this because, you know, and then we go from there. You have created 21 truth precepts, as you call them in your book.
Mm-hmm.
So what is a truth precept? And I know we're going to get into some of those a little bit to help people out.
Not a problem. Not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Let's actually look at the word truth, for instance.
Okay.
Some people use truth and fact synonymously.
Yes.
You know, again, it's like the motivation and inspiration. However, there is a slight difference. See, a fact can be proven scientifically.
Yeah.
And we can
yeah.
identify it through the utilization of our five senses.
Yeah.
You know, we can see factual
yeah.
things. We can hear it. We can taste it. We can feel it.
Yeah.
You know, we know that this is a scientific fact. I'm looking at my dining room table right
yeah.
now while I'm talking on the phone with
right.
you.
Right. Okay.
It can't be denied. Okay.
Right.
However,
yes.
because we are a spiritual being at our core of who we really are. We're not the body. We're a spiritual being who happens to dwell in this body.
Yes, I agree.
And we were given this body so that we could live in this three-dimensional reality that we call Earth, the world, whatever you want to call it.
Yes, yeah.
So we possess a sixth sense. And it is this sixth sense that helps us to identify truth, even when it may appear to defy the other five senses.
Yes.
It's the spirit. It's what you and I, me and you could communicate in this spirit realm, even if you and I never spoke English, you know, or if I spoke a completely different language than you, or I come to your country and you live in the backwoods of the Amazon somewhere, and I could come, you and I could communicate through that sixth sense. That's truth.
Yes, that is truth.
Nothing that I could say to you could deny what you and I are feeling when we're communicating through that sense.
Right.
That is the truth.
Right.
You see, so let's take, for instance, let's use as an example. Let's take happiness.
Okay.
We know that happiness is based upon what is happening at any particular time.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that who's ever experiencing something that they find to be a happy moment.
Yeah.
That they are actually a happy person or that they're happy within themselves.
Right, right.
You see the difference? That's the difference between what is a fact and the truth. So because they're having a happy moment, you know, a child is born.
Yes.
Oh, it's such a beautiful experience and everybody is happy. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the parents are actually happy that they're having a child. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Okay. No, no, I know what you're saying. It's an inner, you just can't define it. You know, it's an inner feeling that we, it's our own personal little joy, you know? And I always say life.
That's one of the reasons.
Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm
listening.
Oh, no, I always say life is a playground of lessons. But we have to, you know, the thing, we have to try to keep ourselves up and kind of laughing and take things seriously and learn from them, but try to laugh through it and not take life so seriously. And that's what I really enjoy about you, Anthony, is you laugh a lot. And
I do.
You are full of joy and you're a happy person just basically, you know? So it really helps, you know,
I enjoy life. I really do. You know, I love this experience, especially as I get older.
Sure.
It's funny because I was telling Shira, my fiance, the other day.
Yes.
That we were at the gym, and one of the fitness instructors there was trying to get us to buy some of their services. And I'm like, that's all right. That's okay.
Yeah.
And so he says, well, let me ask you, how old are you? Mm-hmm. And I said, why don't you tell me, how old do I look? And
uh-oh.
He says, you look like you're about 30. And I'm like, hey,
yes.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Because I just turned 38.
You're so funny.
Amen.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like
and
you.
I love life. I love getting older. I want to look like I'm in my 20s. I don't want to be in my 20s.
Well, sure. But I think a lot of it comes from, of course, it's genetics as well. But a lot of youthfulness is how we feel within. If we're excited about things like children, you know, if we stay, if we mature ourselves and understand our negative stuff we have and try to get, you know, psychologically healthy, but still try to stay within that childlike state. I think that's what's really important.
Exactly. And that's because when you identify your purpose, when you identify your passion, it's easier to enjoy life.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
People that aren't living their purpose, they don't feel like their life is complete are the ones that's unhappy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No, it's so true. And I love your first precept. You talk about dreaming big, getting excited, and just take action now.
Absolutely.
So you got to, you know, there's so much negativity going on in the world. I mean, come on, turn on the radio, go on the internet. It's all bad. It's all bad. Oh, Obama's going into Syria now. Oh, everything's bad. You know, it's all negative. And this, well, I mean, it's news, right? We learn about our world and we can learn about our world in merely minutes after something happens or is decided. But it's pretty down. So It's difficult.
Some people call it the news. I call it the blues, and I refuse to watch it.
Well, I hear you. Some of my patients, they come in, and later in the day, they say, well, what do you think about that guy who, shut down? My office is on Los Angeles area, and there was a recent college shooting. And they said, what do you think that guy that shut down the college a couple of blocks from here? And I went, huh?
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
Oh, I better get with it and start listening. So,
Isn't that crazy? That's one of the reasons why I tell my clients through live consultancy is that I don't watch the news at night before I go to bed.
Right.
And I don't watch it first thing in the morning.
Right.
When I need to catch up on the blues, I'll watch it, throughout the afternoon. This way I can shift my patterns.
Right.
I can change my mindset from that negative energy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you watch it before you go to bed,
rest
assured you're going to carry that same energy over into the new day.
Right.
See, let's examine children, for instance. There's a reason why Jesus mentioned in the Bible, I think the scripture says something like, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
You notice how we as parents, we do everything that we can to protect our children from the evils of the world.
Right.
You never see parents sit their children down in front of the news.
No.
You never see them handing a newspaper or tell them to look at this crap on the internet.
No, that's
we want them to watch rated G movies and cartoons.
Right.
And we want them to go to the parks and play.
Yay.
And we put big fences around the playground. And we do all these things because we want their little world to be protected from all these evils.
That's right.
Well, why don't we still do that for ourselves when we age?
Well put. Well put. And you're not saying deny what's going on in the world. You're just saying just kind of, as an adult and a participator on the, on this material plane and everything, find out what's going on. Learn so you can embrace it. And, like you said, try not to do it before you go to bed because, those are imprints that are probably going to disturb us in our sleep. Maybe somewhere in those REM dreams, we're going to carry some of those fears with us. And first thing in the morning, you don't want to be reading the negativity. It's maybe while you're in the afternoon, just let's see what's up. I'm going to get the headlines.
Well, not only that, Dr. Michelle, one of the other reasons is because, as I mentioned before about the law of attraction, we attract into our lives whatever is in alignment with our most dominant thoughts and emotions.
Right.
And if we stop giving those evil things the attention, we'll stop attracting it.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's the only reason why CNN plays that crap 24 hours is because people are tuning into it.
Yes.
You are aligning your cable channel to the frequency that they are emitting out into the universe.
Yes, yes,
and
exactly.
And if you change the channel, you change the frequency, therefore you'll see something totally different on the television.
God, is that true? It's so true.
And let's think about the word television. That's someone telling you their vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And now you're buying into it.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why I don't spend my day reading the blues paper or watching the blues on TV. I don't have time for that.
That's right.
Because there are too many people's lives that are directly connected.
Mm-hmm.
To the manifestation of the dreams and the goals that I'm trying to personify.
Yes.
And if I spend my day in that crap, I'm ruining someone else's life.
No, I hear you. I hear you. But it's, that whole, a lot of people call and they say, you're into the energy thing. It's scientific, folks. It's science. It's proven.
Is.
We hear negative things. We get negative energy. We feel down. It affects our chemicals. It affects our body. It's really true. And,
well, it's scientific and it's spiritual. Even the scripture talks about the guard
your
mind, the guard your mouth. Watch the words that come out of your mouth, or speak forth the things that be not as though they were. It's all throughout. Every religion teaches this. This is not just science. It's science and spiritual.
Right.
That's a universal truth again.
Yes, yes.
It's a universal truth. It has nothing to do. You could call it whatever you want to call it. You want to call it the law of attraction. You want to call it vibrations. You want to call it energy. You can call it whatever you want to. You want to call it God. You want to call it Jesus, Yahweh, Buddha.
Right.
Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It's all the same.
That's right.
It's a universal truth.
Right.
You attract that crap into your life because you keep giving it attention.
So when someone has negative experiences, let's just say I have a lot of people who have issues with relationships. If they keep attracting the wrong person, they need to question what within them, right, is attracting this. What within them is attracting the person that wants to control them or hit it and quit it, but put on a game for a while, you know, or, you know what I'm saying? What? So people need to ask within themselves why they're attracting the negativity and what within them is fearing, what within them is doubting. What? And so here's my dilemma. So you help me out, Anthony. People keep getting hit by negativity, and they say, well, you see, my life is tough. You see what happens to me? Every time I go out for the job I want, I don't. Every time I find someone who I like, it doesn't work. You see, that's why I'm so fearful and negative, because my experiences. So how do you get them to stop thinking that? How do you get them to say, it's experience, I know, it's going to happen again, you know?
By helping them to change their story.
Aha.
Changing your story. Well, I was when I first got into sales, I was an insurance agent, and I did very, very well in that business. And one of the things that they taught us is that when you go into a client's home, you want to build rapport with them.
Yes.
You want to build a relationship with them, because people like to do business with individuals that are either like themselves or people that they want to be like. We like to do business with our friends.
Right.
And there's an old cliche that says, facts tell, but stories sell.
Yes.
Facts tell, but stories sell.
Yes.
And they have proven through hundreds and hundreds and thousands of tests that 95% of every sale that is made is based upon emotions.
Yes, it's so true.
And not
true.
What you actually tell them. That's the reason why you can drive up and down one street, and it could be three different Mercedes-Benz dealerships out there, and they all are selling the same vehicle for three different prices.
Right, right.
And yet, they're all in business, and they're all profitable.
Yes.
There's a reason for that.
Yes.
Okay, because people buy emotionally.
Yes, they
and
do.
And what happens is, a person keeps selling themselves the same story. The same debilitating story.
Yes.
And they like that story because they are getting something from it.
Exactly.
They're benefiting somehow from it. They either are getting significance from it. They feel they're connected to their story. Maybe they feel certainty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all looking for certainty. We also like a little bit of variety and spice in our life.
Right.
You know, for some reason, they feel like this story is really who they are.
Right. And,
they will much rather... Go ahead.
No, it also gives them attention from other people if they're always down and out.
Significant.
So sorry. Oh,
exactly.
You know.
And that's what they want. That's the significance. And so we need to help them to rewrite their story. Identify why or how is this debilitating story helping you? And then what is it that you really, really want? For instance, when I was struggling with my weight, okay, one of the stories that I kept telling myself is that, well, genetically, you know, most of the people in my family are overweight.
Right.
You know, my grandmother died of complications from diabetes. Other uncles and different members in the family, they had heart attacks and they died. And, and we always celebrated every holiday and every function with a lot of food.
Yeah.
This is just who we are. So I'm going to always struggle with my weight. Well, that's a lie.
Right. It is. It is.
Because I wasn't born fat.
Right.
Okay. I was born with the perfect body.
Yes.
And we all were created with the perfect body, but I learned these behaviors. I learned these patterns as I matured and as I aged.
Yes.
And so I began a love affair with food. I liked how it made me feel. I loved it.
Yes.
It was exciting and it felt great.
Yes.
But then there's another emotion that came after I was done.
Yeah.
I hated how I felt when I was finished eating. I'm stuffed. Oh, I feel miserable. And then when I was ready to take a shower, I literally used to shower with the lights off.
Yes. Yes.
Because I hated how I looked.
Oh, Anthony.
Oh,
bless your heart.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
it was
man.
Either tell myself the freaking truth about my fat, chunky butt Or keep turning off the lights and just pretend like everything is okay.
That's right. Okay? That's a great metaphor.
So I lied to myself.
That's right.
Okay.
Turn
I didn't
on the
want
light.
To face the truth.
That's right.
And so I literally showered with the lights off.
Oh. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I hated how I felt. And then when I realized, I said, wait a minute. Well, which emotions do I want to feel?
Right. Right.
Do I want to feel this high?
Yes.
From or this significance from the food that I'm eating?
Yes.
Or do I want to feel the shame?
Yes.
And people are motivated primarily by two factors.
Right.
We're motivated by either pain or pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what's funny is that people would do more to avoid pain than they would to obtain pleasure.
Isn't that
so
interesting?
So here I was in
yes.
these two examples.
Mm-hmm.
I liked how I felt when I ate.
Sure.
But I hated how I felt afterwards.
Yes.
So now it was like the lesser of two evils.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to identify another emotion that I wanted to feel
yes.
in my body.
Yes.
And so I learned, wow, you know what? When I'm working out, I feel incredible.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
And then as the weight was falling off in the inches and the muscles and the veins are popping in and I can see the six-pack. You know, forming and all this. I'm like, whoa! And now I'm getting attention from people, and everybody's like, man, you look great.
Yes.
Oh my God, man, how'd you do it? See, yeah. I then start to sell myself on that story.
Right.
I liked how that felt better.
Mm-hmm.
So now when I'm looking at what I want to eat, I've asked myself the question, is this going to cleanse my body or clog my body?
Mm-hmm.
Which emotions
yes.
do I want to feel?
Right.
And the emotions I want to feel is based upon the fresh food that I eat through cleansing
yes.
versus the steaks and the french fries and the fried dish and the breads and all that mm-hmm. that are going to clog my
mm-hmm.
body.
Yes.
So for your clients that keep lying to themselves.
Yes. Yes. It's true.
They have to learn to change the freaking story.
Yes.
See, me, with my clients, I'm very, very, I'm not as soft.
Yes.
I don't have time to hear that. I don't hear that crap. I don't hear that junk you're talking about. Okay.
But how do you really feel?
What do you want?
Come on, Anthony. Don't hold back on me. How do you really feel?
No.
Come on. Don't be so shy.
One of the things I was talking about on my Facebook page
yeah,
now,
yeah.
and the guy wants to debate with me about, I had mentioned, a topic is entitled A Controversial Truth.
Right.
That is not that money is not the root of all evil. What I said something was like, have you ever noticed that it's always the poor people or those that have very little that are always preaching that the love of money is the root of all evil?
Right.
Well, it's fascinating that it's always
yeah.
the people who don't have any.
Right.
Okay,
true. Yeah,
that are
that's
preaching
right. It justifies. That's right. Well,
it does.
True.
When in fact, it's not the love of money that's the problem. It's the lack of money.
Right.
And the fear
right.
that
yes.
you don't have enough that causes people to do evils.
Right.
So the guy, he gets on there and he wants to debate with me and woo-woo. And I'm just like, dude, this is not necessarily a debate.
Yes.
At the end of the day, it's based upon the stories that you tell yourself.
It's so true.
The difference
so
between
true.
The haves
mm-hmm.
and the have-nots
mm-hmm.
is that the haves do what they have to do in order to have what they want to have.
Right.
And
right.
the have-nots, well, they have not.
That's right. And maybe when they're, maybe when they are trying to have, you know, and there are a lot of fears, and as you talked about, you know, thought blocks, you know, they're just assuming mm-hmm. negative things. You know, I always say I work on what are called cognitive distortions. In other words, I try to help people yep. understand how they take things or events the wrong way, possibly because, you know, we've all had negative experiences in the past or, you know, they may have been abused or mm-hmm. put down or beat up by bullies or never had a loving parent or, you know, no yeah. one in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So you say people are disturbed not by the things that happen, but by their opinion of the things that happen. So that's what you're talking about. Is there the way that they view it, you know, the way that
Absolutely.
They perceive instead of, oh, this is hard. It's going to be hard.
Sure.
You know, it's
sure.
it's a journey. And wow, what can I learn from this one? Ooh, that was painful. But you
Absolutely
know what?
Absolutely it was.
Next. I'm moving
Next.
On, you know.
See, the thing about it, so I tell my readers and what they'll find in my book, Life Intentional, is that you have two choices with your dreams. You can either make excuses or you can make them happen. Which do you prefer?
Right.
Because at the end of the day, there is no in-between. Even if we wanted to talk about it from a spiritual perspective and we want to bring the Bible in, even the scripture teaches that, hey, listen, either be hot or be cold.
Right.
Because if you're warm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I can't take it.
Yes.
Which one are you?
Yes.
Okay? Hot or cold?
That's right.
I don't care which one it is. Just be one or the other.
Yes. Yes.
All this sidelining, all these cognitive distortions. Here you have a choice. All right, yes, bad things have happened to you. Sure, bad things have happened to me. Bad things, I don't know. Oh, my God. I have met more people who have been molested, who have been beat, who have been abused, who have, oh, my Lord, since I started this practice and written this book, that it's almost like, damn, has everybody been molested, it seems like, these days?
No, I hear you.
It's become... It's a pattern.
But okay. I know you have empathy, and I know you're a loving man because of all the charity work you do and the Special Olympics stuff.
Absolutely.
You're a great man.
I love him.
Yeah. So you're not saying, get over it.
No, I'm not saying to get over it. No. What I'm saying is that here you have a choice. You can find someone to pattern your life after who has been abused just like you, who are either staying in a debilitating state, or you can find someone who's been abused, who channeled that energy and turned their life around.
Right, right. Exactly.
It's your choice.
It's
That's
your choice. And it's great to always find role models. If you don't have someone in your life, or, you know, if you don't have someone who's wise, or, you know, something like that, or someone you've heard... I read about Granny Rowena, and she's lovely in your life.
Yes.
But if you don't have someone in your life, you know, Google inspirational people who did whatever.
Absolutely.
And Google it and find out. You know, find
someone. You have to.
Yes.
You have to find someone that you can model your life after.
Yeah.
When I first got into the mortgage industry as a mortgage banker, when I became an insurance broker, when I started writing my book, and when I formed my consulting company, and all these other things that I've done in my life, I didn't have anybody personally that had done any of the things that I was doing. So I had to go and find my role model.
I
looked out there and I saw, this is the life that I want. How do I get there?
Right.
One of the reasons why people aren't able to accomplish their dreams and their goals or live the life that they want is because they operate in fear, as we talked about
before. Oh, boy, is that true. That is true. Fear of failure. Right.
But there's here's what I want people to understand. Fear and faith, they work the same way.
Right.
They do.
Yes.
See, fear is inverted faith.
Mm-hmm.
Fear means that you believe more in what you don't want to happen to you versus what you want to happen for you.
Right, right. That's more important, is what you don't want to happen to you, and you let that, you know, just take over your thoughts and your life.
So you believe in it more.
Yes.
So you're still operating in faith.
Mm-hmm.
You have more belief in what you don't want to happen to you.
Yes.
Versus what you want to happen for you. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to exercise your faith, then I commission you to use your faith solely for that which you want.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways to do that is by identifying someone who has been in your situation and who have overcome these obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been molested, if you've been hurt, you've been beat, you don't have your mother abandoned you, she was sick, she died, whatever. You know, you have to find someone who has been in your shoes.
Yes.
Who've overcome that obstacle and then repeat their patterns.
Yes.
One of the reasons why McDonald's is so successful is because if you decide you want to own a McDonald's, you have to sign a contract that you will duplicate their system to the T.
Right. Right.
There's no modification.
It's a winning system.
You have to do what we do.
Right. Exactly. No, it's true. That's a wonderful idea. That's a beautiful idea. And keep looking and finding and learning the habits of those who overcame obstacles. I mean, you were talking in your book about a lot of the Special Olympics kids and adults, you know, who are running. They keep running. They are disabled.
Absolutely.
They don't have the capability. They're slower in processing and their thoughts. but they get great joy out of going through and achieving and having people, you know, just spur them on to go for it. And we all, they may not have the mental ability to do that for themselves, right? But when we have people around us to help us, like you, to help them and help listeners and readers, or when we have the message and we have the capability to utilize that within ourselves, that's the key. You know, it's finding the inspiration from without, and if we can, within. So I
100%.
Yeah.
100%. We have to realize, I think you and I talked about this off the air once,
mm-hmm.
that this race, and I write about it in my book,
right.
Life Intentional.
Yes.
This race is not given to the swift, nor is it given to the strong.
Right.
But he that endures until the end,
right.
See, he's the one that is saved. I'll give an mm-hmm. example. When I first started training to get my body back together,
yes,
I live right down the street from Del Cerro Park,
mm-hmm.
which is in Palos Verdes, and it sits on a bluff,
It
overlooks the Catalina Island.
Oh, that's so beautiful out there.
Oh, God, mm-hmm. stunning. It's breathtaking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in this part, in this subdivision, Lakeview subdivision,
right.
there's a set of stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And these stairs, there's 278 of these stairs, steps, okay? And they're at a 55-degree angle. Oh, my God.
Oh,
brutal.
Yes.
It is brutal. These are not your high school bleacher stairs, okay?
Right.
So Shira and I, we were at the park one day, and we saw the stairs. And I'm like, oh, my God. And, okay, we go down into the canyon and everything. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, babe, look. Man, we need to go over there and
yes.
go down those stairs. I want to see where it leads
mm-hmm,
to.
Mm-hmm.
So one Saturday, we decided, all right, let's go over there and go down those stairs. We're going to go hiking through the trails.
Mm-hmm.
And the Palos Verdes firefighters were over, and they were working out in this park, and they were working out on those stairs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I was like, oh, man, okay, all right, oh, yes, baby, we can do this. Okay, because we're standing at the top of the stairs at this time.
Right.
Now
right.
you have to make your descent, and you have to go all the way down to the bottom.
And those guys
so
are
easy.
Yeah, they're in really good
right,
shape.
Good. We got this. Yeah. I'm going all the way down to the bottom, you know.
Yes.
And then we get out to the bottom, and you start to make your ascent up to the top. It's like, whoa, wow. So this is pretty hard here.
So, right.
So the firefighters, they're running up and down, and I mean they it's so freaking easy.
Yes.
And I asked the chief. I said, hey dude, you know, hey man, listen, this guy has this incredible body.
Yes.
Just incredible.
Yeah.
And he's like 55, 56 years old, and I mean he's
yeah.
just ridiculously fit.
Wow.
And I said, hey, how do I do these stairs? How do I get this body like yours? And he told me, he said, listen, this is not about. This is not a race. It's not who can get up and down these stairs
right.
the fastest.
Right.
It's a test of endurance.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's a test of endurance. One of the things that we know for a fact is that if you start here at the top of this flight of stairs and you make your way all the way down to the bottom,
mm-hmm.
you don't have no other choice but to climb all the way out the top of it, because there is no other exit.
Right. That's right.
We're not sending a helicopter to rescue you. You got to walk up out of these flights. You got to just carry your butt up these flights of stairs,
stuck.
Period.
And if you want to sit down for a little bit, that's fine, but you're going to have to
okay.
still get up there.
But eventually
yeah.
you will get
yeah.
up to the top.
Right.
It is a test of endurance.
Yes.
And that's the journey that we're on in this life.
Yes.
See, everybody thinks that because we're on a race or that we're traveling or we're on this journey that we have to get to the finish line
mm-hmm.
first.
Yes.
And that's where greed comes in. That's where competition comes in.
Right, right.
But life is a journey. It's about endurance.
Mm-hmm. Boy, is it ever. It is.
Once you identify your dream or your purpose, your passion, you then have to write down your reasons why.
Yes.
And your intentions behind the why has to be pure. One of my favorite authors is Marianne Williams.
Oh, yes.
And she, you know, she's always teaching about your intentions.
Well,
what are
sure.
your intentions?
Yeah, yeah. Marianne Williams, and she's awesome. She really is great. You know what, Anthony? We're running out of time here. You've got so much great information for listeners. Let's tell them how they can get a hold of your book And also, I know you're going to be on a nationally syndicated TV show in a little while, and we can talk about that briefly.
Yes. So, I am very excited. More information about the national talk shows that I'll be on, the television talk shows, will be found on my website very soon.
Yes.
You can get more information about me at www.lifeintentional.net. That's one word, lifeintentional.net. Or you can Google my full name, Anthony Lamar Smith. I also write articles for eZine, which is an online magazine. You can go and look that up, eZine.com, or find information about me on Red Room. But the easiest way to find me is at www.lifeintentional.net. Order your copy of the book today.
Yes.
And I'll make sure you get that out to you right away. It's lifeintentional.net. Life Intentional, living in fullness every day.
Thank you so much for being a guest today. You're always so terrific and inspiring, and I get such positive feedback whenever you're on the show, Anthony. Thanks so much for being here. You're welcome. We'll talk, and I want people to be able to see you, too, on that national TV show we won't talk about yet.
Yeah, check out my website for more information about
that. All right. Hey, listen, take good care, and, of course, all the shows that I have here on LA Talk Radio are up in the archives, and all the information will be available tomorrow as to how to get in touch with you, Anthony. Take good care now.
Likewise. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. All righty, folks. Wow, we've got to get going. How time flies when you have such a great guest. Isn't it amazing? When you're having fun, when you're enjoying life, you're not thinking about, you know, oh, I've got to do that. Oh, the moments. Oh, you're in the moment and you're enjoying things. Time goes so fast. That's the way to live. That's the way to live. And that's living in fullness every day. All right, this is Dr. Michelle. I've got to scoot out of here, making way for more great shows here on LA Talk Radio. Stay on the couch, please. And also, as I always say, do take care of yourself first, because then you'll be great for other people, and that's the way it works in the world. Have a good one. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.